Grace and mercy and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. In the Latin, this Sunday has been named Misericordias Domini, meaning the Merciful Heart of the Lord Sunday. And no other image captures the merciful heart of the Lord more than that of the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus says. This is one of the seven I am sayings that appear in the Gospel of John. And with these words, Jesus commits his merciful heart to his work of mercy. That is, to lay down his life for the sheep. And as tender and wonderful as this image is, it's also really completely out of our realm of experience. We, in 21st century Canada, are very, very far removed from first century Palestine, and even more from a Palestinian shepherd at that time, to the point that we tend to really miss most of what Jesus is saying here. Our image tends to be of a corporate sheep farm, or a ranch, or some such thing. And while those places have similarities, there tends to very much be a every sheep for itself sort of mentality. Jesus' image is the Palestinian shepherd who knows his sheep, and whose sheep know him. He gives each one a name, and they recognize his voice, and they follow him wherever he leads. Maybe the closest comparison that we can have is our pets. But even that falls short. Even that does not quite get to the heart of what Jesus is saying here. In this morning's reading from John's Gospel, Jesus compares himself to the fake shepherds, to the wolves in sheep's clothing who come only to steal the sheep. They are the ones who sneak, who climb over fences, who look for ways to trick the sheep. Jesus here was referring to the false teachers of his day, and to that of our day. Those who would preach anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. The narrow door that leads to the sheep, that leads to the sheep into the greener pasture, is nothing else than the door of Jesus' cross, of his death and his resurrection. Whoever does not preach Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins and the justification of the sinner is not a shepherd, but rather a thief and a robber. The voice of the Good Shepherd is the voice of the crucified and risen one. The same one who bore your sins in his own body on the tree. The one who is the shepherd and the overseer of your own soul. The very one whose wounds are your healing and life and salvation. You have here an image of the church. One that Luther even used when he wrote the small called articles, when he said that even a 7-year-old child knows what the church is. Namely, it is the sheep who know the voice of their shepherd. It was the early church at Pentecost that gathered together to hear the apostles' teaching. The weekly, and even in some places daily, liturgy of the church, where the baptized sheep heard the voice of their good shepherd, Jesus. They saw themselves as this little flock who were gathered together by their good shepherd, who would care for them and protect them and lead them through the dark valley of death to resurrection and eternal life. As the good shepherd, Jesus is also the door of the sheep. Now, when Jesus talks about being this door, don't think about a wooden door or a gate on hinges here. Think instead of a pen with an opening in which the shepherd himself lies down to sleep at night, so that you literally need to get over him or through him to get to the sheep. You actually here have to get to the sheep over the shepherd's dead body. That's the only way you're getting in. That is how bound the shepherd is to his sheep in this image. So much so that he literally lays down his life for them. He lays down in the entrance so that the only way in and out is through him. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. There is only one door that leads to the Father's green pasture of eternal life. And that way is through the narrow door of Jesus' death and resurrection. One death for the life of the world. One resurrection that brings life from the dead to all people. There is no other way, no other door, no other shepherd than Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And the world rails against this. And our old Adam, well, he doesn't much like it either. And the devil, who is absolutely a wolf in sheep's clothing, he would love to get you away from Jesus' death and resurrection, to get you latched on to anything else, anything but Jesus and him crucified and risen. The world rails against the exclusivity of Jesus. Why only him? What makes Jesus the only religious leader worth following? Don't others have truths that are just as valuable, just as helpful? The Buddha, or Muhammad, or even Moses? After all, Moses was God's spokesman in the Old Testament. What about him? What makes Jesus so exclusive? What makes him the only shepherd of humanity, the only way to the Father, and the only way to eternal life? And when it comes down to it, it's really as simple as this. Jesus is the one who died and rose again. No other religion has the audacity to claim this as a fact of history. Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead on the third day. And that sets him apart from all others who came before or even after. He is the shepherd. He is the one sent by the Father to seek and to save lost humanity. He is the shepherd who leaves the 99 in the wilderness to seek and to save the one who is lost. And that one is humanity, the fallen race of Adam. It is you and it is me. He came to seek you when you weren't even seeking him. He came to find you when you didn't even realize that you were lost. He came to save you when you didn't even think that you needed to be saved at all. And our sinful self, that old Adam, well, he doesn't care much for this business of sheep and shepherd. He wants to be autonomous, independent, self-made. And this good shepherd image reminds us that we are sheep. We are sheep who need the care of our God. Sheep who live by the word. Who, left on our own, would drink from every polluted puddle or nibble on every poisonous weed. Who would stray far from the fold and end up getting eaten by wolves waiting to devour us. The sheep-shepherd metaphor, it's really a blow to our ego. Nobody wants to be a sheep. Sheep are not likable. In fact, that may well be why the disciples didn't understand this figure of speech when Jesus first gave it to them. It only really makes sense in the light of his death and resurrection. Only there do you realize what you are up against and how true it is that you cannot save yourself. It takes the death and the resurrection of the Son of God in the flesh to rescue you. It is not something that we can do for ourselves. And yet we expend so much of our religious energies on what we need to be doing for God. All the while Jesus expends his energies seeking and saving us. That's one of the main points of the shepherd-sheep metaphor. And it's why that old Adam hates it so much. Because once you get past the cuteness of the image itself, you realize just how utterly and completely dependent sheep are on their shepherd. Without the shepherd, the sheep will die. They'll be easy pickings for thieves, for wolves. Without Jesus, we are hopelessly lost and condemned. It must be Jesus who leads us to the quiet waters of baptism. He must restore our souls and put us upright. He must lead us in the paths of righteousness, in the way of his death and resurrection. He must go before us through the darkness of death and the grave to show us that we need not fear any evil. Because Jesus has gone before us, and he is with us always. The rod and the staff of his word, they comfort us. He prepares a table for us, even in the presence of our enemies. Even where sin and death and the devil, and even where the law presses. Still he anoints our heads with the oil of gladness and forgiveness. Our cup runs over. It overflows with goodness and with mercy. That's what life is under the care of the Good Shepherd. When the Lord is your shepherd, you do not lack even one thing. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, Jesus says. Of all the sayings and promises of Jesus, maybe this one is one of the most misunderstood, misused. talking about an abundance of things, of treasures in this life. It's about having life in abundance. Life overflowing. It's about life beyond this life. Life that embraces all of this life and more. Life in spite of suffering and sin and death. Life that defies death rather than deny it. Life that embraces suffering the way that Peter says. When he says, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving for you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Where the shepherd goes, there you go also as his sheep. Sheep and shepherd, they're never apart. They are always together. To follow Jesus, it's not to take a privileged detour around the hardships of this life, but rather to go through them together with Jesus. Jesus isn't the way around suffering. Rather, he is the only way through suffering and death, the only way that leads to resurrection and life. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. That is having life abundantly. The kind of life that Jesus gives. This is the kind of life that cannot be lost. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be diminished. This is the take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife kind of life that goes through the valley of the shadow of death. Not alone, but with confidence. Because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has gone there ahead of us. And he is with us every single step of the way. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And you do. You do have this. Baptized into Jesus as the people of his pasture and the sheep of his very own hand. This life is for you. And it is for you in abundance. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.